That's without a doubt the best sounding and best looking men's quartet I think I've ever seen. Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. I look forward to your next offering. I greet you here this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a beautiful and wonderful and awesome day he has prepared for us. The weather couldn't be much better than it is today. But as you notice, not everything in the bulletin is exactly correct. For an invocation today, I had Brother Larry Beecher, who had agreed to help with that. Well, Larry's not feeling very well. And so I've asked Brother Paul to substitute in his place. I don't know if you've noticed also, Brother Matt Hakes is listed to give the offertory. And Brother Matt contacted me this morning to let me know that he was under the weather and he wasn't going to be able to make it this morning either. And so I'll be handling that part of the service also. Other than that, we will follow the bulletin as far as the order of service is concerned. And so now, I would like to call you to worship. I would like to call you to clear your minds of any pains, any sorrows, even any joys that you might be thinking of. Open your minds to the Spirit of the Lord. Open your hearts to the fellowship. And I call you to worship by the use of the Epistle of Paul to Titus, the second chapter, the 11th through the 14th verses. For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation to all men, hath appeared, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. We'll open with the use of hymn number 27, Praise the Savior, All Ye Nations. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we are full of joy at this moment because we have this place where we can come together. We see each other. We take joy in greeting one another. And we come together to worship you and your Son. Heavenly Father, we are filled with joy because of that fact. The doors have been opened to this building to allow us to come in and worship together. And I know that you would ask us individually and collectively to open our hearts now and let the doors of our hearts swing wide as that Spirit can minister to us, that the words that are shared with us by those before us would add strength to our testimony, would help us to share with others the wonders and the beauty of these words. Father, we are grateful for your Son who stands before us and leads us as our shepherd. Father, this is a blessing. This is a gift, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. From the third book of Nephi, the sixth chapter, third through the 11th verses. I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory were not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, even so will he clothe you, if you are not of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Would you bow with me, please? Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come now, Father, to ask your blessing upon that which we are about to do. We ask, Father, that your Spirit may dwell in our hearts, that you might bring to us a spirit of charity, the spirit of giving, the spirit of helping, yea, the spirit of love. May we give with love in our hearts. May we at least desire to give. And we pray, Father, that you would bless those to whom these monies become a responsibility for the building up of your kingdom, that your kingdom might come. And I ask it in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have heard some of these scriptures this morning already in our class, but I do want to share this one with you from the third chapter of Revelations, which says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. I've been impressed here in my preparation to talk to you about something maybe we don't talk about very often, and that is temptation. And as I was getting this sermon together, I impressed about that, and as well as trials, and you know, they're really very similar things. There's temptations, there are trials, but there's some that are really both. And so that's what this sermon is about, those, which is really all of us, those who are tempted and tried. But tempted and tried and who desire that they might overcome. Like those scripture, that scripture I read to you, and we heard someone else quoting that out of Revelations. It's a good thing to look up. I looked that up here a few weeks ago. What does it mean? Look up the word overcome. And there are promises and blessings attached to those who overcome. But to those who are tempted and tried, who desire that they may overcome, who desire in their hearts for righteousness, but yet, as we are all human, who find that that road is can be a difficult one. And you know, we all traverse that road at points in our life, and sometimes some of those valleys are very deep, aren't they? And we may feel as if we are walking alone there through those canyon walls, but you need to know that we are not alone. Our Lord and our Savior is there with us. And so those who are humbled, those who are stricken down, those who are brokenhearted, you need to know that the Lord loves you. He does, and He is concerned about you, even if perhaps it doesn't feel like that. From the book of James, we find this, that let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempteth any man. And you know, some of us have gifts. We know that there are those, like the ladies who just sang, they have the gift of music. There are those who have the gift of teaching. There are those who have the gift of love and compassion. And you can see it in their lives. And each of us have gifts, I believe, that we are given. But the one thing that we do all have in common is that we all have temptation and that we all have sin. And, you know, I got to thinking back here in preparing for this. It does seem like a long time ago now. When I was at senior high camp one year, and we had had some particularly good experiences that week, and I had had some good experiences, and I made that decision that that was going to be a turning point in my life. I know Brother Ed Turner mentioned in class about the prodigal son. He said when he came to himself, and you know, you look in people's lives, at least I see this in people's lives, and hopefully it's at a point early in your life where you come to yourself and you realize that you need to make some changes. And that's where I was at this point. I decided, well, I was going to start trying to live what I believe, do the things that I knew that I should be doing, and And I remember that week, even there at camp, even with the good spirit there that we had at camp, that it seemed as if those temptations, those things that I had partaken of, that I had lent myself to in just days before that, that they were seemed to swirl around me. They were all about me at almost every given moment. And it was a battle, brothers and sisters. That's what it felt like. It was a battle from that point forward against this unseen enemy, that his fiery darts, as it says, that he throws against us. And, you know, if you have had that experience and you have been in that particular situation where you have decided to serve the Lord, you know what I'm talking about, those temptations, those things that that you have done before. And this should be a warning to the youth, because you have this mindset when early on in life, and you realize that it's the incorrect mindset, that you can do whatever you want because you can always repent. And I had that mindset when I was young. And that's not really true. That's not really true. You can do it. You can do it, and you can repent of it. But it's there in your mind forever. And it can come back and to haunt you and to try to pull you down. And so there I was, feeling as if I was fighting against all of these forces that were trying to pull me this way and that way to commit sin. And I won't go into an explanation of what all those sins and those temptations were, but I will tell you this, that this is a thing that I came to realize with time, is that when those temptations are there, when that temptation comes to you, and you know, all of you know this, because we've all been there, and when the temptation is there, and we so desire, within our hearts, we feel our mortal bodies pulling us towards doing that thing that we know is wrong, that if you resist that temptation, that it passes from you. And that's the thing that I found, that I resisted those temptations, maybe not completely, but I tried to. I resist those temptations, and they began to flee from me. And there's a scripture that actually says that, I found out later on, in the book of James as well. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it's true, brothers and sisters. And to our youth, it's true. It's true. If you resist him and submit yourself to the Heavenly Father and his will, that temptation will pass from you. And these things, saints, these temptations and the things that try to pull us down and away, turn our head away from our Savior, they can be overcome through him, through Jesus Christ. These things can be overcome through Christ Jesus. And Moroni says in the book of Ether that he gives unto men weaknesses that they may be humble. We all have our weaknesses, don't we? And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things, I'm sorry, then I will make weak thing become strong unto them. And we are different, aren't we? Brothers and sisters, each of us has our own weaknesses. We've probably all learned that. I have my weaknesses, the things that I consider a fault and a thing that I have to struggle and work against are different than, I'll pick on Brother Ray here, different than what Brother Ray has to deal with his weaknesses and the things that are a temptation to our brother Ray may not be a temptation to me. And, you know, you learn that as you resist these things, that this scripture is true, that sometimes these things that you were a temptation to you, a weakness to you, that at some point later in your life, that now they're no longer a temptation to you. They're a strength, if you will. You can overcome them because you know that you have done it before, and you know that it is possible. But like many of us here, we probably all have come to realize that there are some things that stick with us, aren't there? There are things that never really cease to be a temptation or a weakness, or maybe that's just me, but I'm sure all of you could probably say that as well. And so the church, this church, this building there that we're in, and we are all in here together not because we are free from sin, because we're not. Not until the millennium comes, not until we pass from this life are we free from the temptation and from sin and the things that would bring us down. But not because we are free from sin, but because our desire is to be free from sin. And the scripture, you know the scripture that says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and so on for the perfecting of the saints. That's what we're here for, brothers and sisters, to tune out, to make our perfection sure. And all of these things can be done and overcome through Christ Jesus. And we, you know, we see things in the world today, this world that, as the scripture says, where wrong is right and right is wrong, we start to see how this has become so muddled. It's not new. It's happened before. But we've seen it in our lifetime, even to a greater extent. And I know I read in the newspaper the other day, maybe you saw it, I think it was on the front page of the Star, about a judge who had given this man, a young man, a lenient sentence, because of his background, because of what he had grown up with. And so people are trying today, they're trying to justify who we are, the person that we are. And it may be that it's your upbringing or the things that you were exposed to, or your father was abusive and your mother did drugs when she was young, or maybe it's genetics. See, a lot of that, I kind of follow some of that because that's in my area. Not only genetics about, you know, okay, you have this chance, this risk of getting Alzheimer's or diabetes, but genetics, this thing, this lifestyle that someone has taken is a genetic thing. They don't really have power over it or control over it. But you know, there are things, my reply is there are things that are genetic, that is true, that you are susceptible to committing a certain thing that we wouldn't condone. Alcoholism, drug abuse, there's genetic. Several studies, lots of studies out about that now. That's a big thing. I know I read about this opioid crisis and talking about how, you know, if you have the genetic predisposition and you're given pain medicine for an operation, your chances go up that you'll might be addicted to it. But that doesn't justify it, brothers and sisters. It doesn't justify it. You know, one man's burden in life, the things that they have to deal with, are different than another man's. And I'm speaking generically, men and women both. But the burdens, the temptations, the trials, the obstacles that we have to overcome, or perhaps that the Lord gives to a certain individual that they have to overcome in their life, perhaps in His wisdom He has given it to them. At least this is my opinion. Because He knew that they might be able to bear it. Have you ever thought about that? I know my mother, who was ill for a number of years up to the time she passed away, she would ask, and I hear them ask this, why me? Why do I have this disease, this trial? And people would say, well, you should ask, why not? But perhaps the Lord knew that she could bear it, and that maybe you or I couldn't bear it. Have you thought about that? Perhaps you and I are blessed because we're weaker, and the Lord knew that. One day we'll all understand this, I believe, saints. We'll see eye to eye. We'll understand why we've been given the things that we've been given. But all of these things are to be overcome through our Lord and Savior. He can give us the strength. He can give us the wisdom and the will that we might be able to be perfected. And that's really His ultimate goal, isn't it? That's why He allows these things. Because He's really interested in what is it that's on the inside of you or I? What is our inner person? Do we really choose Him? And you know, we see in the church today, I know y'all are tired of hearing this, but this came to me that we see in the church today, we see all of these. We have these different groups and factions, and we see people, the sheep, are out wandering. They're wandering about and straying off. But you know, I believe that the Lord has allowed this thing in His church to happen where we see ourselves today, because there was sin in His church. Because there were evil desires in men's hearts. And He allowed these things to happen. He allowed these men and women to fulfill that desire, that it might come forth, that their works would be manifest. And that the saints would need to choose. That there, we've heard about there being a sifting of the saints. Well, I believe that. I know years ago I stayed with my grandparents for a while at their house, and at that time I was very involved in study of the scriptures, and I would just sit there and read them, you know, all the time, making notes, trying to understand the word. And my grandfather, he said to me, you know, We never, until this point in time in the church, speaking of the church, we never were prompted that we needed to study the scriptures this much, like you are studying the scriptures right now. And so we have seen that, I believe, in that men's hearts might be manifest as to which God they follow. And that His people, and that's you, brothers and sisters, that His people might be perfected and purified. That's, I believe, what we are going through here. Christ said, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. Are you doing all you can do to escape the wickedness of this world? Are you doing everything that you can do? You know, a while back here, this is actually why I don't watch TV a whole lot anymore. But I like science fiction. You know, everybody's got their things they like to watch, westerns or military or drama. That's my wife. She likes those dramas. There's enough drama in my life. I don't need to watch more of it. But science fiction and superheroes. So I saw there was this show. It was on Netflix, and I'll watch that. And it was one evening, and for some reason Christy wasn't home and the kids weren't home, so it was just me. And it comes on, and it's mature rating. Okay, that's the TV rating. And that's the same as rated R. And I saw that, and I thought, I'm sure it's just because there's some violence, and maybe there's a little language in there, but you know, I can overlook that. Have you thought that, brothers and sisters? Have you thought that about things that you see or hear or listen to? But there was more in there than I expected. And you know, like I said, those things, they're in your mind. And they never leave, do they? And they come back to you. And our Lord, He wants us to be purified, doesn't He? He wants all those thoughts to leave our mind. And we can start by not putting them in there, right? They like to put, that's why I don't really watch TV too much. I can't watch a show about a superhero without them pulling in some of these things. Are you doing all you can to escape the wickedness of this world? To which John, the Apostle John, writes, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin and repent, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." An advocate, brothers and sisters, He's our attorney, our defender, before the judge, because we stand accused, don't we? I made the decision to watch that show. I was warned. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And you know, He is there to assist you, saints. He is there to assist you. And so many times I know we just want to give up. You know, my dad's family, and I haven't shared this much, but my dad's family, they were converts to the church. Some of you probably remember Jim and Dorothy Parker, Jim and Dot. And then Jim and Dot went out here to Buckner and over here to the school, and back in the 50s they learned about the church, about the gospel, and they accepted it. And Dorothy, she went and she told her twin brothers about it, Holly and Francis. Holly was my grandfather. And they came to independence, and they joined the church. And my grandfather, he began to be active in the church, and they had him doing some teaching, and he got a job up at the auditorium, doing tours. But it was in that job that he had at the auditorium that he learned that there were some men in the church that they had a different life, that they didn't live up to the things that they were preaching or teaching. And he became discouraged over that, brothers and sisters, discouraged and disheartened, and he left the church. My grandfather did. Got my dad into the church. He was baptized. I find that interesting that of his family, he's the only one. But yet he's the one that my mother met, and of course you know the rest is history. But he became discouraged, my grandfather. Have you ever wanted to give up? Do you think our Lord and Savior ever wanted to give up? Do you think he ever became discouraged? Scriptures tell us he did. And it's because of that, he understands, doesn't he? We don't think about that. We think, oh, he's Jesus Christ, he's the Son of the Father, he's pure, he's perfect. But he suffered that temptation and that pain and that sorrow just like we do. You know, brother, another man that I miss in the church is Brother Herbert Hinton. And probably some of you remember Brother Herb, and he shared a dream one time, and I asked him to write this down several times, and I couldn't get him to write it down. He was busy at the time, and there were some other things going on. But I remember when he shared this, and I heard him share it at two different times. But in this dream, he saw the priesthood of the church. And it was as if they were kind of like silhouettes, kind of a dark silhouette, an outline of them. And some of them had some light, and some of them, you know, their light was just up here, just this top part of their head that was kind of lit up. And others of them, you know, was a little bit more, maybe their head and their shoulders. And some of them, you know, it was down to here that they were lit up. But he remarked that, but none of them completely had the light, were completely lit up. And he saw the Savior come, and he threw out these life rings, you know, the ones that you throw to people who are drowning. And he threw out these life rings to the priesthood. And Brother Herbert, as these rings went out, he saw written on them these scriptures. And I wish that's the part I wish I could have gotten from him, because there was several. He recited these off. He knew them by heart. And there were scriptures on this. And he went to the men, and those men were lit up completely. Now, this was years ago that he saw this. But you think about that. That's really where we're at today, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And not just the men, the priesthood of the church, but it's really all of us, isn't it? But our Savior, he's throwing out those life rings to us. He wants to help us. We have to make the initiative to reach out and grab hold of it. You know, Ed shared this other thing a couple Sundays ago. He's talking about this phone, and I don't see Ed, but there he is. Ed, talking about this phone, I'd like to see that, but I'm picturing in my mind when there's a standoff, you know, with the police, someone barricades themselves up, they've got weapons, and they're not coming out alive. And they, I guess, fire this phone into their house through the window. And this is what Ed said. He said, because if they don't communicate, if they don't talk to them, then the police can't help them. And I like that analogy because he says, I stand at the door. Isn't that the scripture I read? I stand at the door and knock. There's the phone, brothers and sisters, and we're holed up in our little place thinking we're all alone, and we're not. We have to be willing to reach out. And he is our advocate with the Father. He suffered temptation and pain and loss. And he can relate to us and help us that we can overcome. We can overcome through the power of his love. And, you know, I think a lot of times we like to think that we are unique in this day and time. You know, these are the last days. But when you really think about it, you think about the trials that we have, the things that are pulling us this way and that way and attacking our youth. Really, none of these things are really new. You think about it. You know, they think about the man Lot, L-O-T. And it says that he was, what's the word? I think it's plagued daily with their speech and the things that they would say when he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. He suffered because of it. It's no different today, is it? And so these things have occurred through time, saints, throughout history, and really we are no different. Men have always had these temptations and these trials to bear. But these things can be overcome through our Lord and Savior, can't they? I truly believe that. And I hope that he will continue to be your advocate, that you will know that he is, and he will lift you up. Thank you.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we approach thy throne once again in prayer. And Lord, we are so grateful for the words which have been brought to our attention this day. Lord, we thank you for Brother Eric, for his life and his experiences which you have shared with him, that have brought him to this point in time to share with thy people, to bring ministry. And Lord, as we look out across our lives and we see that the temptation which we have battled in the past, and that temptation which will surely come upon us in the future, Lord, let us take heart and remember that you will be there with us. And that may our hearts be still. May we trust in you. May we do everything we can to turn away from those temptations and make the decision to follow you and for righteousness' sake. Lord, please forgive us of our sins. Please help us to overcome. Please strengthen us in the days ahead that we might be overcome and be counted victorious in this life. And Lord, we pray and ask for your grace and your mercy upon us, that you might stand with us. We certainly thank you for your Son, for his life and his sacrifice. We know it is because of him, Lord, that we can stand here and we can lift our hearts and our minds and our voices unto thee. And we are thankful that we do indeed have an advocate with you. And so, Lord, as we stand here now at the close of this service, I would ask a blessing upon this congregation, that you might bless them, each one, with thy Spirit, that as we go forth from these hallowed walls, that we might be strengthened, that we might find strength and courage even out in the world, that your angels might accompany us, and that we might indeed stand faithful and true to thy gospel. And Lord, I would pray now for those who are mourning, those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, those who battle sickness and trials and tribulations. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that you might strengthen them, that your angels would surround them and comfort them and their families in their times of need. And Lord, may each one of us share in the burdens which they bear, that they might be light and easy to bear. Thank you, O God, for loving us, for calling us out of this world. We love you. And we thank you for loving us. And may all the honor and the glory be thine forever and ever. And I ask this now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.